And when you're a kid, I just feel like you're so transparently yourself, because it's just like, this is who I am. This is what I am. This is my body. You don't really start to think about things that you want to change about your body until you start hearing it elsewhere on social media, from family, from friends, from like different people. You can't treat your body like a trend. And I've done that. I did that in the past. And then I'd get upset because like my body wasn't looking a certain way, but that's just not my genetic. Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Just me and Sam today, chilling and ranting. Today we're gonna be talking about body positivity and relationship to food. Very open, candid conversation, but first, let's jump into weekly updates.
Okay, so do you want to touch on the first thing?
Sam has Taylor Swift and Kelce. Is his name Kelce?
First of all, it's not pronounced Kelce. That's why I wanted her to touch on it, because I wanted you guys
Kelce.
I'm pronouncing it's not it like Kelce.
No, I know. I'm pronouncing it
it's
like
Kelce.
Kelce.
Okay, I put Taylor Swift and Kelce on here because Kelce. I don't get it. It actually hurts me. Every podcast I've been listening to that's pop culture, okay, I understand it's pop culture, so they're talking about it, but everyone's obsessed. I'm just like, what is the obsession?
Because she's everyone just loves Taylor Swift.
But she's just a person.
Yeah, but she's like...
But she's just a person who writes good music. Like,
is it good?
Joe down the street writes very good music too. You know what I mean? Like, why do we care so much? Like, all these conspiracies, and how is Taylor going to go from her concert in Tokyo to performing at the Super Bowl on Sunday? She's going to... Like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares? And like, yeah, so Kelce's at the Super Bowl. So now Taylor Swift gets to perform on like there. Like,
I understand, performing, like, though.
She would have, she's at the caliber where she would have performed anyways. And I know all the Swifties, if this gets out to the algorithm, are literally going to come from my fucking throat. But I just don't understand the hype. It gives me like a tingle in my throat how much I don't
Why?
Like Taylor
so
Swift.
Angry.
I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't like her. Her music is, she has a great voice. I used to love her back in the day, but lately I just don't get it. Like, the obsession with her love life and like how influential she is to people. And I understand,
but like,
wait,
that's like us being like, we love Jonas Brothers, but like, why?
Yeah, but I don't love them to the extent that they like affect my life and like I talk about them all
the
time.
Yeah, but think about less people. Everyone's like that though. How about Justin Bieber fans? With Justin Bieber or Selena Gomez.
I guess. Like, I guess I just don't get, like, I understand, like, her songs are so relatable to people who have been through breakups and, like, have been through, like, tumultuous, like, relationships with men or women or whatever. And I haven't had to go through that. So maybe I'm putting my foot in my mouth here, but, like, forget the relatability to her, okay? I understand. She's a fucking pop culture sensation and, like, her music's great and relatable. Their relationship is just so over, like, they're going to break up if you guys keep fucking, like, putting them in the spotlight,
yeah,
like,
well.
Like this. Like, there was this one video of her, like, congratulating him, I think, like, after
oh,
they
I saw
won.
And they were hugging
and she was
stuff.
Hugging and trying to kiss him. And there was, like, cameras in their faces. It's like, bro, like.
Yeah, and the comments were like, this is the most awkward thing I've ever seen. But, like, what do you really expect? Like, it's almost like you have to put on a show because you know people are watching.
Exactly.
And if one thing you do is, like, not right, people would be like, oh, my God.
And she's like, stop. Like, who cares? Like, you don't understand. I listen to so many podcasts, and every single one is like, oh, did you see Taylor and blah, blah, blah did this? Did you see? And it's like,
yeah, well, people
I just don't,
up.
I don't get it.
I don't really get the
like,
hype.
I love the Jonas Brothers. When Joe and Sophie broke up, I was like, oh, they broke up. I didn't like go and dissect. Like, I just don't get
yeah,
it. I don't know.
Different.
People are going to come for my throat for saying that, but.
Sam and I had a rebranding photo shoot, and then after we went to go to the bar, and I want to talk about that first date that we experienced.
First date?
Those two people on a first date, remember?
Oh, yeah. We went into this random bar, yeah.
And
yeah.
We were so nosy, and, like, we just knew, when you know someone's on a first date, like, their body, their body language and, like, the questions they were asking, like, they're asking, like, what's your favorite music, or what music do you listen to?
Well, I cringe
like,
so
what
hard.
Do you do alone, like, when you're alone on your free time? The guy's like, I like to go to clubs with myself, and the girl's like...
Yeah, it was so bad. The girl, I felt really bad for her. She was doing all the talking,
it was like
first
me and
of
Sam
all.
Were on the date, because I looked at Sam, and I was like, oh, like, oh my God, did you see that?
I was, like, getting
we were,
anxiety
like, right
for
across-
her. She was, we were, like, at a bar, like, imagine sitting at a bar, they were, like diagonal from us. If the bar's like this, we were here, and they were there, so we were almost, like, facing them, kind of. Fran was literally facing the girl. So she would just be like, what type of music do you like? He would be like, salsa. She was like, oh, well, oh, okay. Like, I like hip hop. And like, sometimes when I work out, I like pop. And we were not trying to eavesdrop. Like, it was just, they were like sitting
we
right
beside
us. We
weren't speaking to each other.
And so me like, and Fran weren't talking. We were just like eating. So we were just listening. And she was like, what do you like to do in your free time? And he's like, I like to go to the club, you know, club. She was like, I thought you said you didn't like to party. He was, or you don't have a lot of, no, she said, I thought you didn't have a lot of friends like here, like in Toronto. I guess he had an accent, so he was definitely not from here. He's like, I don't, like I go by myself. She was like, oh, you go to the club by yourself? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God.
And then she went to the bathroom.
You need to shut the fuck up right now. And then she got up and went to the bathroom. And he was just sitting there. And I'm like, I want to like look at him and be like, buddy, you need to reel it in.
Well, that's fine. Just being honest. But then another thing that like,
No, she caught him in a lie.
Oh yeah, I guess. Like a pet peeve though is like, and me and Sam were fucking dying.
Oh my God.
It's my pet peeve. Even when people I know do it, when a song is on in the background and you're having a conversation. So let's just say like,
I'm sorry.
Let's just say a song is playing in the background, like me and Sam are singing, and then Sam will look at me and be like,
don't go,
go chase what? And then I'm still trying to talk. And I'm like, huh. And then she'll be like, listen. And then just like singing with a song in the background. And then like it goes, you know what I'm trying to say?
I'm actually crying. It was so awkward. Like, she started singing.
Like he was trying to have a conversation with her. And then she started singing like a TLC. Like,
she was going, I don't love want this song.
No scrum. And she kept singing. And he was like, okay. Like he was just sitting there.
This isn't like laughing at her. It was just
the situation was so awkward.
But she clearly was trying to just save it.
Yeah,
she was trying to save it.
And then he was kind of trying to like join it, but it was just so awkward. And I was like, and I don't like when people do that though. And there's a song on, and then like I'm like not singing, and they'll be like getting me to try to do it. I'm like, I don't want to fucking.
I don't know
join
how to
in.
Act. I'm just like,
yeah. Anyways, that was just a funny story.
Holy fuck, that's actually jokes.
And then
what else? That bar was so not weird, but like then that bartender. Or the owner, or whatever
nice.
He was. He was nice, but he was really flexing. He was really ultimately flexing.
I don't want to say it.
He goes,
what if he talks? What if he knows what we're talking about?
What?
I think he'll know who we're talking about if he watches
I don't that. Know. I don't think he watches this.
Yeah, well, anyways, I felt bad.
He was really nice. But I mean, like, firstly, the first thing he says is, are you sisters? And we both answer yes at the same time. And he got so tripped out that we answer at the same time. He's like, whoa.
A lot of people do, though.
Yeah. And he's and then he just started telling us that he worked at this, like, designer brand.
Yeah, wait, and then he's, like, something about how he drives a motorcycle. We didn't know what the fuck he was talking about.
Oh, my
he's
God.
Like, I drive a...
Bugatti? No, not
Bugatti. Something Italian motorcycle. Me and Sam are like, huh.
We're like, mm-hmm.
And then he starts laughing, like, dying of laughing. Me and Sam are like, what the fuck?
No, and then Fran's like, no, okay. He's like, yeah, I drive a... Bleh. We're like, oh. And he starts laughing, and Fran's like, what? I'm like, bro, this guy was just standing behind the bar talking to us, telling us how he, like, works at this, like, he's been to the Met Gala and that, like, he buys all these designer bags. And we're like, and
we're not very well-versed in designer bags.
I'm not well-versed in designer.
Like, when someone's, like, a double flap Chanel
yeah,
with a leather.
He's like, you know the double flap? We're like, no, yeah, sure.
He's like, you know he was like, you know those Air Jordan Diors? And Sam's like, yeah. And like, we have no fucking clue in Air Jordan.
I'm no fucking clue. Like, I don't give a shit.
Anyways,
he was nice. He was trying to make conversation with us, probably because we looked antisocial. We weren't talking to each other or anyone else. But anyways, it's just funny, man. Like, going downtown, like, I don't go downtown Toronto, like, to the city a lot. Or if you live in any suburb and you go to, like, the city center, after a while, you just, like meet people and,
no,
like,
I
have
just,
occurrences.
I just
that are
lose
just, like,
my mojo when I talk to people being in, like, a suburb for so long. Like, I don't, I just meet, like, I don't know. I just feel like I have social anxiety sometimes. Someone will talk to me, I'll just kind of be like, eh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Lost my vibe. Another update is that we are adopting a new dog. His name's Buff. I fostered him I guess it's not really considered fostering, but he came for a sleepover in, like, end of January for 2 days, and me and my mom, like, fell in love with him, so...
And then he came for a sleepover at my house?
Yeah, and then Sam fell in love with him, and then he met Kiki, and Kiki actually loved him, which is a really big
surprise. Well, I wouldn't say loved, but they were fine. Like, she wasn't
well, they
a
were
bitch,
civil,
like,
and
usual
Kiki's
bitchy.
Usually a bitch, so end February 20th, he is coming home, so we're very excited about that. So it's Kiki.
He literally is like a little Buff, so it's Kiki and Buffy.
And they both have underbites.
They both have, not underbites, he has like...
He has an underbite.
He has an underbite, his tooth coming up, and then she
but
has
so
a cleft palate, so her tooth is coming up.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to share with you guys a metaphor that I heard not once, but twice this last week, and it really resonated with me. And if you're somebody who is kind of like stuck in the past... You think about all the past decisions and, like, where you've ended up, and you're resentful of things that have happened in your past, and it's making it hard for you to move forward. Think about it. Think about your life as driving a car, okay?
Okay.
The windshield is always bigger than the real rear view mirror, meaning that the rear view mirror helps you...
Rear view.
The rear view mirror helps you know what happened behind you and what's happening behind you, and you're still aware of it, but it's not the main focus. The main focus is the windshield, the big windshield that's in front of you, so that you're always focusing on where you're going and not where you've been.
Yeah,
how good of a metaphor is that?
Yeah, but
I was meditating, and the yoga teacher said that, and then I was watching the Grammys, and then somebody else said that.
But if you think about it, it's like your rear view mirror is also reminding you of things that are behind you that can catch up to you, and that can cause an accident.
What?
So it's like you need to also be aware of that.
Exactly. The rear view mirror is so that you're aware of, like, you're still aware of the things that have happened in your past, but it's not your main focus. The main focus is where you're going. The focus is moving forward. You're not going to drive your car backwards, but you should be aware.
What's rear view meant? This one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. I thought you meant these ones. These two.
No, I mean, like, those two, I guess, as well. Oh, but anyways, I thought this metaphor was...
Yeah, that's a good metaphor,
it was,
actually.
Very, like... Yeah. Okay. So we are in mid-February. It's been over a month and a half since this new year started. So we kind of wanted to do a little pulse check on how we're feeling, what's this new year been like so far, and where we're at.
Mm. For me, I agree with what you said here. It's been slow. Hasn't been like, well, actually, I lied. It has been go, 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 whereas in like there's a lot of things bubbling up and going on and like difference in routine, but I feel like it's like it's not, I don't know how to explain it, it's like it's starting, but it's not like actually happening yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like, it's in like the beginning phases of things where it's like it hasn't been executed, but like I can feel there's a lot about to happen and go down, which I mean it's not a bad thing. It's kind of given me like a period of rest and rejuvenation and allowing me to kind of like think about what I want in terms of career, in terms of endeavors, in terms of personal life, in terms of opportunities. So it hasn't like happened yet, but it's like I know it's going to happen. So I'm in like a state of like, I've been saying I'm in a state of limbo recently, honestly, for me. I feel like I've been in a state of limbo.
Yeah, I feel like everyone always says to me, oh, you're always busy. And I'm like, I hate when people say that because it's like, listen, I choose to be like that because like I like to feel like there's always something coming. There's always something in motion. Last year, from January to December, so much happened and I was always go, go, go. Like in terms of like every single day, something was happening or like I was working on something or working towards something. And like it was just a lot. So January for me was a bit slower in terms of like I didn't wake up every day being like I need to do 20 billion things in order to feel accomplished, and it was kind of slower. So I at first was like kind of pushing back against that and being like, why don't I have a million things going on? Like, should I be trying harder in any one of these areas of my life so that more things start happening? But then I was like, you know what, let me just relish in this time, because I know, and like Fran said, I can feel that, like, you know, spring's coming, things are happening, people are getting married, and there's a lot of events, there's opportunities coming, there's like, you know, stuff for the podcast, work, a lot of stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Let me just relish in this time right now. And this time I'm calling inforation gathering, which is basically where I made it up. Where
is it actually that?
Yeah, inforation gathering. Oh. It's just the combination of information and inspiration. So basically I have thoughts. I have so many thoughts and ideas, things I want to do, whether it comes to career, opportunities, businesses, family, friends, events. But, like, I can't do all these things at once. And I usually was that type of person where I'd be like, okay, I'd look at my week and be like, Monday, I'm going to do real estate. Tuesday, I'm going to do side business. Thursday, I'm going to plan this event for a birthday. Like, you know what I mean? So it's mm-hmm. like that burns you out. So I'm not doing that anymore. So right now I'm information gathering until I'm ready to, like, put things into motion and execute, which basically means that I'm observing things that I desire. I'm just like observing and like mentally gathering information, or like I have this journal app on my phone that I call Brain Dump. And I literally, like, if I'm thinking something in that moment, I'll just like write it down because like I saw something, I observed it, and I want to write it down. I'm literally just information gathering and getting inspo from people. I'm asking questions and doing research instead of diving into 20 billion things at once. I'm really just like taking it slow, but still taking action at the same time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm just like not doing fucking anything. It's like I'm taking it slower. And I feel like since I've been doing that, like I've been naturally having clarity as I've been doing that on things like endeavors, side businesses with clients, and like as simple as being more patient with my morning routine. I was always like struggling to find something that's like so productive in the morning, and just waking up and like feeling with what I want to do and doing it has been better for me in the long run as well. And like another example is I've been feeling called to like do something. I'm putting this out there because like if I say it, like I'll feel more obligated to follow through. But I've been feeling more called to do something with like fitness. Like I don't know what. Like I've always, and we're going to get into like more fitness stuff later this episode, but like I've been feeling really like I used to train people. We used to like have a fitness Instagram, me and my friends, and like I've always been into it. And I'm just like, I don't know what I want to do with it. Like, is this something that'll stay as a passion? Is this something I want to like monetize? And instead of like going online and be like, gonna go get my training in this certification and that, I'm like just like gathering information. I'm talking to the trainers at the gym and like some of my favorite yoga teachers and seeing what their path has been. Like, that's just an example. Mm. But like the old me would have been like fucking spending so much money on like doing something just to like,
and not actually knowing if that's what you want to do.
Exactly. And not actually knowing. So like that's how the year / the last month has been for me so far.
Yeah, it has been slower, but I've been enjoying it because again, last year was a lot at once. So I honestly, if you have some extra free time in the winter months, or if you feel like it's slower, I feel like it's better because spring is also when things happen. Spring,
like, you should treat your body as like the seasons. Like winter, everything's dead.
Hibernating.
You know?
Well, no, I mean, if you have an opportunity or you have like inspiration, obviously.
But I mean,
go for
like,
it, but
you're not like springing up into action all at once, you know?
Yeah.
I also want to talk about books we have read so far this year. I don't know if you've read any.
I'm not a big reader.
Okay. So, part of my new year, not resolution, but just like what I want to be doing is habit stacking. So, I think I talked about this before. Every month, I'll write down a list of habits that I want to start implementing into my routine. They don't change from month to month. If I've mastered a habit, aka it comes to me naturally, I'll take it out of my habit stacking and replace it with a new one. But I'm not like changing it every single month. So for example, for the month of January, one of the things in my habit stacking was read 5 to 10 minutes every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that. And I finished a whole book in 3 weeks. And I, shit you not, I have not finished a book since like grade 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried when I finished a book. I teared up. I was like, I shut the book and I was like, did I just fucking read? I just read a whole ass book.
Yeah.
Willingly. University didn't make me read it. No one made me read it. I just read it.
People be like, you don't like books? Well, some people actually don't like. One time when I told someone I didn't read books, they were kind of like, you don't read. Like, well, some people just don't enjoy reading. And also the thing with me is I like to read and gather information, but it's like me like sitting there and like, and it's a lot to do with like the silence of like you're just by yourself, like, you know, with a book. So it is an accomplishment to finish.
Exactly. And like, I don't like that either. I don't like sitting there. It was like sitting there. It's like, okay, like, is this a waste of time? But like when you finish a book and you realize how much every day you're thinking about the things that you read in that book, especially if it's like, I don't think yet I could read like stories. I like reading like self-help
like
books.
Nonfiction.
And, like, yeah. That's what it's called. Nonfiction. But like, I was never a reader. And like, I kind of forced myself at the beginning to read every day. And I would just put the book on my couch. So every morning when I came down, it's like, okay, I'm going to read. Literally, friend, I would read 3 pages. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, people could finish a book I read in like 2 days.
Yeah.
Like, but I finished in 3 weeks, but I still finished it. And now I'm on to another book. So the books I've read so far this year are Atomic Habits and A Happy Pocket Full of Money.
Mm.
So Atomic Habits talks about habits and habit stacking as well. And really shows you and teaches you that little successes every single day matter just as much as big ones. So I read a book. Like, that's a success. Like, I don't need to have fucking, I don't know, won a championship in the Olympics to be like, okay, I fucking, like, I'm successful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's little successes every day. And it shows you that you're achieving goals every single day that are shaped towards the person that you want to become, which is ever evolving. So you learn that like all these habits that I'm trying to implement and like these little successes I'm trying to do each day, they seem like they don't matter. And that's why a lot of people stop, like making your bed every morning.
Mm-hmm.
I do it every single morning now because I'm just like, even though like really like, is it a big deal? Not really. But like those habits are habits of a successful person, of somebody that like, you know what I mean? Like somebody that has their shit together.
Yeah.
And it's okay if some days you don't, but like the book also taught me or suggested, if one day you don't feel like doing something, like you're really like, listen, I don't feel good, I need to just fucking lay on the couch, the next day you will do it. You'll never skip 2 days because then that's how you fall out of routine. And I recognize that's how I used to fall out of routines. Like I'd skip a day and then I skip the next day and I'm like, oh, whatever, fuck it.
Yeah.
But like this book has really taught me a lot about
that.
And then
you're like, okay, I'll start tomorrow.
I think you should read it.
Maybe I'll pick it up.
The second one is called A Happy Pocket Full of Money.
I'm going to write it down on my calendar.
So, yeah, the second book is called A Happy Pocket Full of Money. I'm not done it, but I'm learning about quantum physics. Who knew that I don't really exactly know, but it's kind of like about energy and like how the world works, atoms, subatomic atoms. Yeah, and at first I was like, what the fuck am I reading? Then you start reading it a little bit more and then you're like, hey, this is really interesting. And it's confusing. So I'm not going to pretend like I'm an expert in it at all or even like a beginner because like I'm really just starting to get into it. But like it talks about the idea of every action and choice having a reaction, like a ripple effect. So every choice you make, there's always an opposite choice.
Yeah, like so two paths.
There's two paths, but literally both paths exist in the universe at the same time.
Like they're already predetermined?
No. Like you made a choice. Let's say you decided to take a job opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a version of reality that decided that where you decided not to take the opportunity.
Well, yeah, it's the other choice.
It's like two universes, two parallel universes where you decide to take it and you didn't decide to take it.
Okay.
So I'm diving a little more into that and like what that means, but every action like kind of has a reaction and a ripple effect, which is AKA karma. But like it's karma being scientifically proven, which is really cool and almost makes me just like believe in karma that much more. And I've been going through my day thinking about things. Like yesterday I was in Old Navy and I wasn't going to put the sports bra back on like the hanger. And I was like, but don't put the sports bra back on the hanger. This affects the mood of the worker who's going to have to go in here and be like, let me put this back on the hanger. And then that could affect something else in their life. Maybe their kids are going to come home and they're going to yell at them because she was mad because work was shit. And then it ripples and it ripples and it ripples. And that's why everyone says like what you put out into the universe comes back to you.
It makes you more aware of your actions too.
Yeah, but it's going to come back to you in the end.
Yeah.
Like that ripple effect of you not putting that sports bra on the hanger will come back to you, whether good or bad.
A kinder person.
Exactly.
Like a more kind or more sympathetic person.
When you think about it this way, it does. So I was thinking, if you guys are down, you guys meaning like people watching this, like people who follow us or you as well, we should do like a book club for people who don't read. Like encouraging people who don't naturally read books to read. Mm-hmm. Not like a book club, but more like just like a group of all of us who like aren't avid readers all the time, but we really encourage each other by picking one book for like a month. And then like we have a discussion on it, like on the podcast. People can call in and like send in their thoughts. That's and like, for example, Atomic Habits, I get like, what did I get most out of it? And like, I talk about it and we have a whole episode on like one book.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys are down for that,
let us know.
We'll set something up, send us a DM or I don't know, we'll figure something out where you can like let us know and then we can do it. And then everyone part of the group can like pick a book.
Yeah.
But like, it's not going to be nonfiction. That's the only thing.
Yeah, sorry. It has to be like I like self-development or self-help or like those kinds of books.
Yeah, it's going to be like
personal development books.
Yeah, exactly.
Set up a group chat.
Alrighty. Let's move on to what the main topic of this episode is. I've done a lot of talking, so you can go for it.
Sure. So, I mean, Sam's kind of leading this one today, but we want to talk a little bit about body positivity / self-image / relationship to food. I know we spoke about this, I think maybe like once really briefly when you and I were both in the hot seat that one episode. But we haven't really spoken, and once like a long time ago, we haven't really spoken to it too much in detail. And I think our word for this year, me and Sam, is vulnerability. Like we want to just be vulnerable this year. Like that's why we have this podcast. We're vulnerable with each other sometimes. Maybe not always with this topic. I'm very much to myself with this topic.
Same.
And like maybe one friend knows how I feel about my body image and like that's it.
A lot of people are vulnerable with it. I mean,
well, yeah, because shy. When it comes to body image, you don't want to put out your insecurities out there so people can then put it back on you or like point at it.
But also,
so if I say like, I hate my wrists. I hate my tiny wrists or like they're so skinny. I don't like my wrists. That is one thing that I don't like. My arms are like kind of thinner. Then someone, when I post a picture, might be like, oh my gosh, she does have really skinny arms. And then it's almost like I'm putting it out there.
Also, like, firstly, before we get into this, I do want to like give a light trigger warning that we're talking about body image and food, relationship to food. So if that's something that you don't want to be involved with listening to, then
yeah,
we totally understand. But to your point, like, I think also, like, a lot of people don't talk about it because, like, they're scared to say their insecurities because other people are going to be like, okay, really? Like, that's what you're insecure about? Like, Fran's skinny or, like, you're skinny. Like, you're slim, right? If you had a insecurity where you're like, oh, blah, 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 somebody who isn't as thin as you and looks at you and is like, wow, I wish I looked like you, would be like, shut the fuck up. Like, you look fine. And then it's, like, diminishing that other person's, like insecurity or like self-image. And I don't think that that's healthy or fair, because that person should be able to freely be vulnerable and talk about these things, which is why we are talking about it today, because we both have our own like insecurities and like relationships to food and all of this stuff. But sometimes feel afraid to talk about it, A, because of Fran's reason. Like, you don't want to point things out and then like people are like, oh yeah, that is true. Or B, you don't want people to look at you and be like, shut up. Like, you have this, you have that. It's like, let's not do that. Let's like invite everybody's opinions into the chat.
Yeah, or just make people feel comfortable and stating heard what they're vulnerable about. Do you want to go first?
So, I mean, I don't really know where to start, but
okay, I think I'll start first. When you're a kid, I feel like you're born to the body you're born in. And when you're a kid, I just feel like you're so transparently yourself, because it's just like, this is who I am, this is what I am. This is my body. You know what I mean? Like, this is me kind of thing. So you don't really start to think about things that you want to change about your body until you start hearing it elsewhere on social media, from family, from friends, from like different people. Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, I was always a skinnier kid, and I always had a really fast metabolism. I'd eat like a cow. Like, I'd eat so much and then just burn off real quickly because I was in a lot of sports. I did volleyball, basketball, soccer, which involved so much running, track, cross country, like a lot of running, just like twice, three times a week. So it was always hard for me to like gain that weight and keep it on as a kid. But I didn't think anything of it. I was just like, I'm an athletic kid. And people would be like, oh yeah, you're athletic. You're so athletic. So like, okay, I'm an athletic kid. And then when you get older, people start, you know, even like the doctor does it, which is like a normal thing, but they start to categorize your body, right? Like, you're overweight or you're underweight or you're athletic body or you're a slim build or you're slim thick or you're thick. So people always would say to me, like, you have an athletic build, like athletic body. And I'm like, cool. Like, that sounds like I like that. Like, I like having that. And then it turned almost into like, people would be like, you're too skinny as a kid. Like, I'd be like 11, 12. I'd just be like, there. I feel bad for myself with my little like legs, like my little chicken. Like, you have chicken legs. Or like, you're too skinny. You gotta gain weight. Like, why aren't you gaining more weight? And then as a kid, you're like, what? Like, okay, the fuck. So then like I would eat a lot. But again, fast metabolism. I'm just burning it off. So whatever. I didn't really care that much until like high school ish, kind of, where you're emerged in like that all the time. And no one ever really like said anything about my body in high school. Like, I feel like it was whatever. It was more actually my family I love my family. It's just like, you know, you have family who like, they
don't mom and dad, like extended
family. They're just more honest with you about things. They're more blunt, which I mean, it's not always a great thing, but they would say things. And then when that point, you're like 15, 16, you start to look at yourself and you're like, fuck, like, do I have to change this or that? Or maybe I should look this certain way or that certain way. That's where mine kind of stemmed from, because I was always fine as a kid. And sometimes kids are not always like that. Sometimes kids at a young age will look at their body and be like, oh, I don't like this or I don't like that, or like pick at their stomach or like whatever. I wasn't like that until people started turning athletic body into like skinny, like you're too skinny. It's not skinny because I like my body the way it is. It's when you put like something like two, like you're too skinny. Your boobs are too big.
Even just labeling you as athletic body, what does that even mean? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, okay.
Yeah, but it's like labeling someone as like slim thick or thick or like thin or like, it's like, and what I've learned is like, I've gotten over that now, and I'm in a way better headspace. If someone comments on my body, I really don't even think twice about it. I'm like, cool, that's your opinion. Like, that's fine. But like, I think you know what I'm talking about. Recently at Nino's house, like somebody recently asked me if I've lost weight. But before, back then, like years ago, I would have literally like cried. I'm not even kidding. I would have went to the bathroom, probably cried, or been like, looked in the mirror after, like, oh my God, did I lose weight? But I know I haven't. Maybe, I don't know, what I was wearing made me look like it. Maybe it was just because they haven't seen me in a while. I don't know. But it's like, so I was like, no, I just continue on with my day. And like, that would have bothered me. That comment would have really stuck with me. But like, now it's just kind of like, it's unnecessary. Am I asking somebody, have you gained weight recently? Or have you?
There's people who say that, which is fucked.
It's don't comment. If you want to say like, I look good, be like, you look really good. You look good. Or if you don't want to say I look because you don't think I do, just don't say anything.
Yeah.
At all. Anyways, how I've learned to kind of deal with it is I've gotten to a point where I love my body now. I go to the gym. I work out. I do things for me. I have goals for my body. Like, you know, I have goals that I've achieved and that, like, I want to keep achieving. But I think my main thing is like, you can't look at your body as a trend. And that's really hard these days because, like, for example, thick was in back then, where Kim Kardashian, her ass was huge. And now she's reduced it again because she wants, because skinny is a new thing again, or like thinner is a new thing again.
And then a lot of girls associate themselves with these types of trends. So then when the trend goes out of style, it's like they hate themselves.
Yeah, it's like my body's not good enough anymore. And it's like you can't treat your body like a trend. You will literally drive yourself insane. And you'll have like, it's bad for your mental. Like
it's unhealthy for your like physical, and it's unhealthy for your mental. The whole Ozempic conversation too is just like crazy.
Yeah, people want skinny and with big like, tits. Like you see a girl on like Selling Sunset or whatever, and she's thin, like thin with huge boobs.
And listen, and people are like, fine.
Oh my God, no, that's fine. I'm not, see, this is not me hating on a body. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, that's fine. But it is unrealistic because you're not being transparent with what you're doing. And like, yeah. You know what I mean?
I was watching an episode. I know this isn't a great reference, but I was watching an episode of Real Housewives.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And one of the, do you watch Miami?
I just know what scene you're talking about.
Oh, you've seen it?
Where she's like, where the blonde one comes in and she goes, oh my God, you look so skinny. Like, what are you doing? And she goes, oh, it's hormones. And then the other girl off screen was like, O-Z-E-M-P-I-C. It's Ozempic?
No. Oh. So the girl goes, this girl had a smaller, just like, I don't know, her butt was smaller. Then she came back 5 years later and she had this huge butt. Cool. Nice. It was clearly not natural, like, yeah. Which is fine. Like, I don't give a shit. But, like, the girl was like, oh, my God, like, where did you get your BBL? And she was like, I didn't. I worked out. And everyone was like, you clearly didn't work out. Like, it's clear you didn't work out. And it's like, but why are you acting like you didn't get anything done? Just say it. Because, like, you are on TV. You are affecting so many other people looking at you and being like, oh, like, how do I get that? What, like, and it's like, I don't know. It's not that person's job to care about how other people feel, but like, I just don't get why people lie about things that you do. You know what I mean? Like, if you're wanting to do something to make yourself look better and feel better for yourself, do it. Like, I would say it if I got a BBL. You know what I mean? I'd be like, yeah, you know, I want a BBL.
Yeah.
Got a BBL. But anyways, continue.
No, that's what I was just saying. I think my main thing is like, you can't treat your body like a trend. And I've done that. I did that in the past. And then I'd get upset because like my body wasn't looking a certain way, but that's just not my genetic. Like, it can get it to a certain point, but I will never look like Kim Kardashian where it's like, whoop, that's just not, I don't have the hip structure. I don't have that. Like, I can grow my butt. I can, whatever, lift weights and go to the gym and eat well and blah, blah, blah. That's reasonable and realistic. But it's just like, you can't, I don't know. And you can change your body for sure. Like, you can change. I've seen things like, for example, Tammy Hembrow, she had like no butt at one point. Like, she was like really flat and like, it was kind of like, whatever. It was just, she was like, I didn't like it. Like, I had a flat butt, whatever. And then she changed her body. Now she's like voluptuous and like, not voluptuous, but she has like.
Yeah, but that's totally fine. And that's fine. She did it for herself. She wanted to do that. You know what I mean?
No, but what I'm trying to say is like, it's okay to want to do that. I'm just saying like, that shouldn't I don't know. I just feel like you shouldn't have an unhealthy relationship with it where it like affects your mental.
You shouldn't get obsessed with it. You should be doing it for yourself. I literally had an argument with somebody the other day that asked me like, why do girls get like boob jobs? Like, why? And it's like, because they want to. Yeah. Some people, of course, go above and beyond with like the altering of their body cosmetically to a point where it like looks a little crazy and like it looks like it's unhealthy. But like, if somebody has been insecure about their boobs all their life and they want to get a breast reduction or like a breast enhancement, that's up to them. That's gonna help them feel better, look better, and be more confident. Then let them do it. And that's what it's all about. I think it's about like being okay with yourself and confident with yourself, not letting other people make you think you should be a certain way. And
so one thing that I've done recently, I have been doing it, not just with body, even when I'm in a bad mood about myself, or I'm feeling down about myself, or like I'm feeling sad or upset, or I'll catch myself looking in the mirror and like pinpointing things that like I don't like about myself. This is so weird, but I pulled up a picture of my baby self, like my younger self. Mm. And at first I looked at it and I was like, okay, I'm kind of, this is like weird, I don't like it. And I put it away and I was like, I'm not gonna do that, whatever. And then I picked it up again. And one time I literally just like, I was like parenting myself almost. I guess it's called inner child, I guess that's inner child work or inner healing or whatever. I was like looking at my baby picture, or like my picture of myself as younger, and I was so cute. I was like smiling with my teeth. I was like, now, you know which one I'm talking about? Where like I have that weird smile.
Yeah.
Which now I would never fucking do that because like I just don't like my teeth. And like she was smiling with her little baby teeth, and I'm like, would I tell this girl, like if I saw this random girl on the street, this little girl, being like, ew, I hate this and that, would I like let her do that? No, I'd be like, don't, whatever, I'm not gonna say what I said to myself, but I like, you know, I tell her, I just tell her, you don't have to change anything about yourself. Like, you don't have to be rude to yourself. Don't be mean to yourself. And like, after I did that, I started crying. So I'm like, I feel bad for you. Like, not me, but like, well, me, but like her. Cause I was like, I just feel bad for you. Like, you're so cute and like innocent, and like smiling with your little like chiclet teeth. Like, I just want to like hug you. So now ever since like I've looked in the mirror or whatever, I do that, and that it's kind of actually lessened like my negative self-talk or whatever. So that's a trick or a tip if you want to try it out. I know it's kind of like uncomfortable. Like for me, I was kind of like, it kind of makes you go into places where it's like kind of weird, but I don't know, it helped me.
I think for me, like I started dancing from a really young age, which I loved, and I'm so grateful that I was able to be in dance and be in all these sports. But I do think dance really skewed the way that I looked at myself, like from a young age. Like you really think about it, right? Like when you're dancing, like in your tutus and your bodysuits, you're in this like tight material and like outfits as like a kid, and you don't realize like what it's doing to you until later on, right? And so I really as I got a little bit older, like in dance, I really felt like, okay, I don't look exactly like all these other ballerinas look. You know, like ballerinas are like taller and skinnier. And I was like, as a kid, maybe not really as a teenager, but like as a kid, I was shorter and like chubbier. Like I had like a little bubble butt as a kid. Like I know it's weird to say for a kid, but like I was like chubbier, you know what I mean? And like my sister was always skinny and like quote-unquote athletic body, and I was chubbier, so I internalized that growing up, and I was like, okay, like I play all these sports, I play soccer, dance, I played whatever, I did all these athletic things, but I was never the best at any of these. Like I was never like the top dancer in the room, I wasn't the number one soccer player, I wasn't the best figure skater. And then I always thought, like, is it because I don't look like what these like people should look like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and then like I would hear everybody growing up call friends skinny, and I was like, no one's calling me skinny, so am I fat? Isn't that funny
though, because I hated it, but then you're kind of like, why aren't you calling me skinny?
But it wasn't in a jealous way, it wasn't like,
why? No, I know, but it's kind of like you're questioning like, why aren't I being called skinny, but then I'm questioning like, why do you keep calling me skinny? Yeah. Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, exactly. So I was just like, they always call her skinny, and like no one really says anything to me, and if they did, it was like, so yeah, so I eventually grew out of that, like when I heard people say that to my sister. But yeah, I think that like I thought that I wasn't the best at like some of these athletic things sometimes because of my composition. Like I didn't look like how they should look like, you know what I mean? Like I still did these things and I was still good, but I just felt like because of my body, like I wasn't performing at my best. And then that was kind of like more when I was younger, but I never actually verbalized this. Like in the moment, I never like said this or like knew how to really express these things. But as I grew older, and like even now looking back, I totally remember like feeling that way. And like that's kind of where that body image came from. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I cannot be the best ballerina because I'm not like thin and tall. Like I can't be. You know what I mean? Like, I don't look like how the other girls look in a leotard or a bodysuit. It's just not the same. Another thing was, again, this is kind of trigger warning-ish, and it's a little weird to talk about, but, like, I didn't develop as quickly as, like some other people. And, like, people made comments about it. And, like, I would get, like, very weird about that. Like, that would cheese me. Like, I wanted, like, a boob job so bad for so long. Like I would be like 16 and be like, I cannot wait until I turn 18 and I get money and I'm gonna get a boob job. Like, and people, like, I don't know, like it was just like almost like a thing to like poke fun at. And it was weird. Like now I think back at it, like I'm just like, I don't know why I let anybody say anything. And like people will be like, oh, it's not a big deal, like don't worry, who cares? It's like, bro, you're literally like looking at my body and saying like, oh, it's fine, you have like small boobs, like it's fine. It's like, okay. Then I started like making fun of myself. Like I would say, oh, I have small boobs, so it's fine. Or like my boobs aren't that big, so I can like wear that. And then I was like, why am I saying this? Like I literally, like I am almost like trying to make fun of myself so that like other people, yeah, to lessen the blow. It's almost like I thought people looked at me and just saw that like I didn't have huge boobs. That's literally what I thought. I grew out of that. Like now I'm happy with them. I don't know. Like now I'm like fine with that side of me, you know what I mean? Like I eventually grew into what I needed to grow into, and I'm like a full grown woman now, and I don't feel that way. There are people who still feel that way, and like they'll go and get their boob job, but what I'm saying is like I can see why people get boob jobs or like get all like, because they genuinely feel like they aren't, like they don't feel good about themselves, they don't feel like it matches their body, and I think that's okay. But like what I don't think is okay is like letting Like, if it was a situation like me letting that outside noise make me think, like, oh, my boobs aren't big enough, and then I go and get the boob job, and now I'm like, okay, I'm good now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do you know who Alyssa and Charles is? So she used to have really small boobs, and she was skinnier. Like, she was, like, she had a skinny body, like a petite body.
There's nothing wrong with it.
But she would get bullied. Like, people would bully her, like, you have no boobs. Like, oh, my God, like, what's there to grab? He's not grabbing anything. And then she got a boob job, and then people were like, why did you get a boob job for? You look so much better. And she's like, and I feel bad for her, because I'm like, even as a girl, like, that's probably tough for her to hear, like, her saying, like, your boyfriend can't grab anything.
Yeah, because then she knows her boyfriend's seeing these comments, too.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, is he thinking? So, like, I don't know. That reminds me of her, because, like, I feel bad for her, because, like, she had a petite body, and, like, I kind of can, like, resonate with her feeling, like, insecure and kind of, like, a more petite, whatever, body type. And then she got her boob job, and then they're like, why the hell did you get that for? They're fake. Like, and she's like, it's kind of like, okay, what do you... But it's like, you can't please people. So you can't ask, like, what do you want? What do you want me to do?
That's
what
I mean.
Like,
that's why you can't do it for other people.
Yeah. Well, who knows? She did. I'm just saying that reminds me of that.
Like, as you're growing up, a lot of the things that people say to you, you don't realize affect you so much, because, like, it's shaping and molding how you look at yourself. So you really have to, like, do the work as you get older to find out, like, what you like, what you don't like, and, like, really start loving yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So then fast forward, that's more like when I was younger, that whole, like, spiel. Fast forward to gym culture. I became associated with being fit and going to the gym as I got older, like more into like my early 20s. Like I found the gym. I loved working out. I started a fitness page. Everyone would see me at the gym because I was there all the time. Like I really became like the gym girl. You know what I mean? Like everyone, like my friends would come to me and be like, give me a workout plan, or like, oh, you should teach this workout class or this, that. Mm-hmm. And, like, I became very associated with, like, being fit and being at the gym. And I was good at it. Like, this wasn't, like, the sports I used to play where, like, it was, like, okay, I'm, like, oh, I'm good, but, like, I'm not the best. Like, I genuinely felt like I can lift heavy. Like, I can do these things. But as I got older, so, like, I graduated university and, like, you know, started going off into the real world. So this is probably around, like, COVID. It wasn't easy to stay as lean and fit as I was when I was in university or younger. I honestly think just simply because, like, I turned 25 and older and just started, like, your body just changes. But also, like, I was working. I wasn't, like, going to school anymore where, like, I could literally go to the gym at, like, any time. Like, I could work out for, like, 2 hours. And, like, I really had the luxury of time. So overall, like the last few years, I still kept with my routine, but I wasn't getting the same results. Like I could see in myself, like I was either losing muscle or like my waist wasn't as snatched or, my shoulders weren't as like bony and defined or not bony, sorry, like muscular and defined. And like, I would go through fluctuations. And then I became obsessed with the fact that I had to keep up this like gym girl image, and it became bad. Like I became like, oh my God, like I don't want to go out because I feel like I'm not as muscular as I was the last time this person saw me. Like I would feel like, oh my God, I'm not like as fit anymore. Like I don't have like these ripped abs, and like people are going to look at me and be like, what happened to you? Like it wasn't that drastic. Like it really wasn't that. If I looked at a picture of me like before the pandemic and then like after when I started feeling these thoughts, it wasn't that drastic. I can see changes, but like,
yeah, that's also body dysmorphia.
It's body. I totally have / had body dysmorphia. So like I spent so much money, like during this whole period of time, I spent so much money on like quick fixes. Like, let me buy this like 10 package boxing class, or like, all these, you should see my supplements collection. And this was all because like, again, like I felt like I was the best at the gym. Like I was so good at the gym, and I had this like figure that like, honestly, like this is very hard for me to say, but I liked when other people told me like, oh my God, like how did you get that? Like what workouts do you do? Like, I liked that. Like that, like it almost like it fed my ego, but it almost like also fed my inner child of me not feeling good enough. So people were finally like, oh my God, how did you do this? And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, and so after like I started feeling like myself, my body fluctuating and me not being able to like go to the gym for 2 hours every day anymore, I felt like, okay, people aren't saying this to me anymore. Like I obviously look different. Like, am I chubby again? Like I was as a kid. Am I this? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that is more like recent, not recent as in like right now, but like that's more like, let's say from the pandemic to like the last year. And like, now I'm on a new sort of like health journey / I don't know, path where like I'm not, again, I'm really trying to not let other people's perceptions, like, define how I feel about my body. I've come to terms with the fact that, like, I might not look like how I did when I was 18 years old. Like, yeah, like because well. I'm 27. Like, obviously. But, like, I know that I'm still fit. I still lift so strong. You know what I mean? It's, like, I need to just prove that to myself, not to other people. Mm. And, like, my life is different now. Like, I have a household. I have a job. I have, like, the podcast. We have all these things, like, I can't be so fixated on that anymore, and I can't, like, and I don't want to be. So now I'm kind of, like, on this balanced, healthy approach and, like, finally seeing results again, as in, like, I feel good about myself now when I look in the mirror. I'm not looking at myself and being like, oh, my God, like, I don't have that, like, one line here. Like, literally, that's how I used to think. I don't have that, like, one line here when I flex my biceps, so, like, that means, like, my arm's fat now. Or, like, yeah. Like, that sounds so bad. I know. But, again, we're just trying to be vulnerable. But now I'm like, okay, you know what? I love reformer Pilates. I love yoga. And I love lifting. So I'm just going to do all of them, like, when I can and how I want to do them. And I'm good at it. And, like, I know in my heart that I'm good at it and that I love it. So I'm not going to rely on, like, other people seeing results in me or wanting, like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at now. But it is a work in progress. So
I also just think that you have to change your mentality in order to, like, feel better about yourself too. Like, if you're just, again, doing it for other people, but then, like, changing your relationship with health and your body and food will, like, in turn provide better results because you're not in a state of, like, almost desperation to make it better. You know,
yeah, that's how I was.
Because it's like other people are looking or because you need to do it. It's just because you actually want to do it.
And I, you know what I think, and sorry, now that I think about it, it really threw me off is when the gyms closed during COVID. Like, I actually thought my whole world fell apart. Like, truly. Like, yeah. I was like, what the fuck do I do? I was looking at videos on my phone and I have so many videos of me working out in the backyard.
Or in the basement.
Basement. But I would go hard. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just like, so I was trying to make up for the fact that the gyms weren't, like, open anymore. Yeah. And so then I lost weight, but, like, I lost muscle definition because I was overworking out. Mm-hmm. Like, I was overworking and it was just, like, burning too much, I guess. I don't know the scientifics behind it, but I was losing weight while working out a lot at home. Yeah. And I was like, what am I doing? So I became so obsessed. And then, like, the relationship with food is a whole nother story. Do you have any points on that? Or are you good with food?
Not really. I feel like I've always been okay with food, like, food wise. I don't track my calories or anything. At one point I did because, again, like, those comments got to me. I'm like, okay, I gotta gain weight. Like, I gotta eat more than 2,500 calories a day, which at one point I was. But then I just felt sick. Like, I felt disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, I literally was tracking what I was eating and it was disgusting. Like, McDonald's, and then I would eat pizza.
Yeah, but that's not healthy either.
Okay, but then I was like,
you're just trying to get calories. Made
my calories 3,000 in thing. And then, like, I'd feel disgusting the next morning and I'd be like, I don't know. I just keep on doing it. I don't know. It wasn't healthy, but my relationship with food isn't bad. I eat what I want to eat. Not to say I eat like shit, but I'm just saying, like, if I'm hungry, I will feel my body. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, starve myself of food. If I'm not hungry, I won't eat. I don't know. I think I'm okay with food, food-wise, honestly, for me. I've never been, like here, like, you've always worried about, like, being bloated or, like, things like that. Yeah. I just never have really worried about that. I just feel like if I'm bloated, I'm bloated, it'll go away.
I think my, like, bad relationship with food started, I don't really know exactly when it started. Again, like, I feel like dance, I used to really just try not to eat before I went on stage. Like, I remember, like, trying not to eat.
I don't know. Dance culture is a little bit toxic.
Before
I
went on
stage. Well, maybe it was just because we were where we were at, but.
Maybe. But I really would try not to eat before I went to class or on stage because I wanted to, like, honestly just look good. But, like, when I was a bit older, I worked at this health clinic and I kind of learned about supplements and leaky gut. And this was around the same time I started getting into the gym. And so I learned kind of, like, what being bloated means and, like, what can trigger being bloated. And I became obsessed with not being bloated, like, finding ways not to be bloated. Like, I was probably, like, 20 at this time. And I was like, okay, what are all the things that make you bloated? Like, generally. Dairy, gluten, sugar. So this is where I was, like, gluten-free. Like, gluten bothers me. I actually think I gave myself a gluten issue because I stopped eating it.
I've said that to you, though, before.
I know. Okay, but, like, this is another thing. Like, my family always kind of, like, made fun or, like, laughed at, like, oh, okay, Sam's gluten-free or, like, Sam's this. They didn't understand that, like, I was just, like, struggling with, like, what to eat to make myself feel good and, like, because I felt like I didn't look good. So, like, I would stop eating gluten entirely. But I don't know if I actually needed to. It was just, like, in my head that I needed to. So I feel like I, in turn, gave myself an intolerance to something because I just wasn't eating it for so long. Mm-hmm. That, like, lately I've kind of started to dabble in it again once in a while. and like it would hurt my stomach. But it's like maybe it's hurting my stomach because I stopped eating it for years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I had a bad relationship with food for a while, and like I still struggle with food specifically. Like fitness, no, and like body, not so much. But like food, yes, because like I have an issue with like labeling things as like bad and good, like dairy bad, like gluten bad. But like that's not really the case. Mm-hmm. Like you don't know, you know what I mean, until you actually like test your body and find out. And then there would, this would lead me to like binge eating like sprees. So like I would go like a whole month without eating gluten, dairy, sugar, etc. But then like a weekend would come where I'm like at the cottage or something, and I would eat like whatever everybody else was eating, like plus some. Like I would eat like McDonald's, and then like I would be like, oh fuck it, like I already ate McDonald's, so like let me just like have milk, I don't know, like a smoothie or whatever. Like, and it would make me feel like shit about myself mentally after. So then I started becoming obsessive, and it was just bad. And then I tried counting calories, and that was just, yeah, like, I again, feel like that's just bad. So fast forward to now, I'm actually taking a holistic approach to everything and using professionals, like going to a naturopathic doctor to test what I'm allergic to. I did a food allergy test, the IG food sensitivity test, or the RMH food sensitivity test. If you think that like you have stomach issues or bloat or something from foods you eat, and you have the means to pay for this test, do it. Or ask your doctor, ask your work if they cover it. Because I found out a list of things that I am highly sensitive to. And gluten was not on the high end of the spectrum.
Yeah, okay? I could have guessed that.
The things that I eat every day were rice was on the high end of the spectrum. Eggs. I eat eggs every single day because they are good food, as I labeled them. But according to my blood and results, it's something I'm highly sensitive to. On the flip side, I'm also trying not to be look at this sheet that the doctor gave me and be like, bad, these are all bad, I'll never eat eggs again.
Yeah,
it's not. I'm just trying to like clear my whole system of these things that I've been kind of overwhelming my body with, like eggs, rice, things that actually I am sensitive to, and then reintroducing them slowly, because I don't want to have this relationship with food all my life. I don't want to go out to dinner, eat something, and the whole time I'm eating this rib, I'm thinking about how fatty it is and like how I need to like tomorrow need to do a green juice. Like that's how my mind thinks. Mm-hmm. It's like unhealthy. Like I'm not enjoying life. I don't want to be like that forever. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now. But overall, I think like it's important to talk about these things, because things that you're experiencing, probably somebody else feels the same way.
And right when we were about to like record this, I was like, I feel like people feel weird talking about this because, again, people don't want to like openly talk about their insecurities. But I feel like this is just how like you create a community too, and you create like a safe space for people. Like maybe someone will relate to something that I said, or will relate to something that Sam said and feel a bit better, or like reach out. Like we're always here to chat, but we just wanted to have that conversation just because I've never really vulnerably like spewed out either, because I'm embarrassed of it and I kind of just internalize it. But
I'm also scared that people are gonna, like when you talk about body image and stuff like that, it's almost like if there's somebody else who's in a quote-unquote worse situation than you, that's how I feel. I'm just like, okay, I don't necessarily, again, trigger warning, have an eating disorder. Maybe this is disordered eating, but like I don't have like a diagnosed eating disorder. Well,
that's okay though. Like no, that's fair.
I get scared that like somebody who does is going to look at this and be like, that is nothing compared to my problems. But I don't
know. It might not be.
Yeah.
And we're being respectful of that, but we're also just sharing our experiences.
But that's what I want to emphasize. Like
a lot of people maybe relate to like this experience that we're feeling.
That's what I'm saying. Like this isn't to diminish anybody else who's going through things that like, I don't want to say are worse, but like are a bit more severe in nature. Yeah. Like this isn't to diminish that. This is just to like facilitate that open conversation. And hopefully our community feels like they can talk about these things too, comment on our stuff when we're talking about these things, and like just have that open convo. So
yeah, but I think my main piece of advice would be, do not treat your body like a trend and just do what feels right. It's obviously easier said than done. Like I'm still going to, you know, I'm not going to look in the mirror every day and be like, I love me and myself. Like, obviously, there's going to be some days where I have negative self-talk or, like, you know, I feel down about myself. But at the same time, you just got to learn to love yourself. You're in one body for your whole life. You might as well love it.
I have two final things to say. First is a piece of advice, like, my closing thoughts, is that it's always going to be, like, a roller coaster when it comes to, like, body image and, like, relationship to food. I think the main thing that I've learned is not to rely on, like, other people to validate how you look. Like, don't rely on other people saying like, wow, you look good, how did you get that in the gym, to make you feel like you're like
people, even like your family, your boyfriend, like don't exactly like look nobody for that, like, yeah, validation. Also like, oh my god, wow, you look so good, or you look beautiful. It's like,
yeah,
because once you start like picking up, like, that being your validation, you're going to want to hear all the time. When you don't...
Like, oh, you didn't call me beautiful today? Do I look like shit? Like,
yeah.
Like, you don't want that.
And that's going to bring...
And the second piece of advice is take things in moderation. Because I'm not going to sit here and say I am never going to get Botox. I'm never going to... Like, you're not going to say you're never going to get hair extensions. That's altering the way you look.
Yeah, but I have, like, hair extensions.
You know what I mean? Like, it's everything in moderation. Don't be obsessed with changing yourself to look better to other people. Do it for yourself, because it makes you, like, feel good. And when you feel good, you're more confident. And the last thing I'm going to say is... Oh, I forget. Fuck. What were you just saying before?
What?
What was your closing piece of advice?
Love the body you're in because you only have it.
Oh. So this one yoga teacher I go to calls, like, your body a meat suit.
I know you're talking about, yeah.
She says... This is just your meat suit.
Kathy calls it a meat suit, too.
Oh, really?
Bell. Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, it's just your meat suit, but, like, you are inside of it. And I'm like, that is so... Sounds kind of, like, weird, meat suit, but, like, it's so true.
Yeah, it gives me that,
like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, your vessel. Like, treat it kindly. Like, don't be mean to it, but don't be obsessed with making it look good for other people.
Yeah.
You know? So, that's it for us.
Well, that was... that was it, our candid, vulnerable conversation. Hopefully you guys can relate. If you guys want to, you know, tune in, join in, comment, or even, like, message us personally, we can have a chat offline, because I'm always down to have these kinds of chats with people.
And let's be nice, you know, treat us nicely, you know, don't comment stuff that, like...
Someone's literally going to be like, yeah, you skinny wrist.
No, yeah, like, wow, big deal, you have skinny wrist. Yeah, like, don't say shit like that, you know what I mean? Let's be fair and let people talk openly about how they feel. Anyways, it's been an hour of this combo. Like, I don't think we've ever hit an hour on the dot.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
Sam.
Sorry. An hour.
Oh. Okay. Bye, guys.
Like, comment, share, subscribe.